Everybody, welcome in. Thanks for being with us today. My name is Barbara, and as always on Tuesdays, you have a seat at the Speak Up table, and today is a double-packed show. First up, former Bonner County Commissioner Dan McDonald is here to review his time as commissioner and help us kind of take a look into his thinking on different issues. And then Dan Rose, the current Pondere Hospital District, one of the current Pondere Hospital District trustees, will be here. I know that title is confusing, Pondere Hospital. I've had so many people say, where is that hospital? And I'm like, that's Bonner General. That's the taxing arm of Bonner General Hospital. So it's your hospital, and we're going to be talking about the obstetrics decisions that have been made recently. So we're going to take a break. It's going to be a quick break, and we're going to do that right now.
NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, is the largest grassroots organization dedicated to improving the lives of people and their families who have been affected by a mental health condition. Our group wants you to know that you are not alone. Join us at NAMI Far North on Wednesday, April 19th at 5:30 at the VFW Hall on Pine Street. Come watch a slideshow of Justine and Matt's grueling trek walked in honor of Ethan Murray. Snacks and support groups will follow the presentation. Go to NAMIFarNorth.org for more information.
Spring is here, and it's time to see what's new at Grunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet. They have preparedness and homesteading books and supplies, emergency rations, food storage supplies, ammo and knives, jewelry, ReadyWise foods, and more. They stock items you won't find anywhere else in our area. They buy, sell, and trade, open weekdays, and located on Triangle Drive, just south of the Kootenai Cutoff Road in Pondere. Grunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet.
Paid for by the National Tax Advisory. Contact the tax group for details and restrictions. Attention anyone that owes money to the IRS. The IRS has restarted aggressive enforcement actions against taxpayers who owe back taxes that were temporarily suspended for COVID. If you owe $10,000 or more, you must hear this, because now is the time to clear your IRS tax debt. A special toll-free number has been established so you can stop penalty fees, avoid liens, and other hostile measures by the IRS. Call the tax group right now at 800-761-2855 and get the maximum protection afforded by law.
I got behind on my taxes and owed $48,000. I didn't know what to do. I called and they got my bill lowered to just $3,500.
I owed $87,000 in taxes and it was scary. I got the amount I owed down to just $3,500. I saved $83,500.
If you owe money to the IRS, don't wait another day. Call 800-761-2855 right now before the IRS enforces liens, levies, and other aggressive measures. The call and consult are absolutely free. Call now. Call 800-761-2855. 800-761-2855. 800-761-2855.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month, a savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance.
For your free quote, call SelectQuote at 1-800-452-5050. That's 1-800-452-5050. Or go to SelectQuote.com. 1-800-452-5050. That's 1-800-452-5050.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save. Full details on example policies at selectquote.com/commercials.
Keep up to date on everything we're doing at NorthIdahoRadio.com.
Everybody, welcome back in. Say hello and welcome with me to Dan McDonald, former Bonner County Commissioner. Dan, thanks for being with us.
It's my pleasure.
And I'm just going to say up front, I'm totally jealous of your Costa Rica tan. I'm a little bit irritated.
Yeah. It was horrible down there. It was 94 degrees every day, and we swam. And yeah,
the sunshine. You had to wear sunglasses. Legit.
Yeah, I had to wear sunglasses every day.
Yeah, legit. Yeah. Not here just to do it.
Yeah.
All right, let's jump into it. During your tenure, the general sense is that there wasn't a rezone that was legal. that you didn't like. And even when it was a rezone, like if somebody has 20 acres already zoned 5, hey, they want to do 4 or 5s, that's mm-hmm. allowed. That's their property.
Sure.
But if they have 20 acres and it's not zoned for 5 and they want it, basically what I've been, you know, the way people think about you mm-hmm. is that you've never seen a rezone like that that you didn't like.
Well, that's absolutely not true. What they don't know, and I've explained this a few times, but what they don't know is that there's a complete vetting process before it comes to the commissioners. So first planning looks at it, and you'll have several applications, and I don't have an exact number, that will come through, and they'll say, sorry, I know this is what you want to do, but there's no way to do it. The attributes in the land don't meet the zoning you want, and it goes away, and we never see it. The second level is it has to go to the, at the time, the Planning and Zoning Commission. So then they have a shot at it.
Which has been separated
yeah.
now.
And there was a good reason for that. But anyway, so that commission then looks at it and makes a recommendation to the commissioners.
So even though they're separate, it still goes through planning, it still goes through zoning before mm-hmm. it comes to...
Depends on what the file is, yeah. If it's just a zone request change, sure. If it's a comp plan amendment and a zone request, then it has to go through both.
If someone believes that the planning commission is, you know, they're kind of booked in on the side of development and the side of let's just grow, do you think that's true? Do you think the planning commission is definitely balanced between people that are over here in the mindset of keep Bonner County rural, which is not no growth, but it's just, you know, slower growth, and... you know, go development. What do
so
you think?
We had, when we split the two, we decided to go ahead and have everybody who was currently sitting on the P&Z Commission reapply and interview. We had 12 positions. We only got 14 applications, two of which were pretty much non-starters because they were pretty vocal about their positions on things. And in the interviews, it came through that they could not be unbiased. They could not work in a group setting, which is really what this is. And be able to debate in good faith.
So
we were really left with 12 choices. That was it.
Were those all the incumbents that were already sitting there? Or
not all of them.
Did we get anybody new?
We got a bunch of new. We did not retain two incumbents. And then by splitting them, we actually created more seats. So there was a bunch of new blood that came in on both committees.
Let me understand. Help me understand.
Okay.
2008, there seemed to be a comp plan that changed that said we used to kind of have lots of 5-acre things, and now mm-hmm. we're going to let larger larger acreages be a part of it. Is that a correct interpretation? And do you want to go back to everybody gets 5 acres, that's it?
No, not at all. In fact, there's a method to all this that most people either don't bother to research or don't listen. Unfortunately, a lot of times when you try to teach people about this, they don't listen for understanding. They listen to respond. So originally there was no zoning. 78, there was, there were 5-acre minimums everywhere, all the way up to 20 or to, 85, I think it was, and somewhere around there. Then you started seeing 5s and 10s. And then in 2008, they decided to go ahead and lay down a bunch of 20-acre parcels. Now, we'd never had 20-acre zoning before, not ever, other than 20-plus, which was commercial timber. The problem with
that, which should indicate that there was a trend, a desire, there was a movement, there was something that pushed into that larger acreages, and I think that should be respected.
Here's the law side. The law side is, when you take a position on zoning, you have to be able to back it up statutorily. You have to be able to back it up with the law. The only way to do that is, and there's a set descriptions for each one of the zonings. So 5 acres can have these attributes. 10 acres would have these attributes. 20, these attributes. There was nothing for 20. In fact, one of the attorneys that had volunteered on that group that had wrote the comp plan and did the rezone warned the committee, and he gave this in testimony on a hearing we had, do not lay down these 20s because they're not defendable by law. So essentially what happened is we had people that had what were probably fine 5 or 10 acre parcels suddenly be having their property zoned 20s with no legal basis to support that other than this is what the P&Z Commission at the time wanted.
So where are we now? We don't have any 20s?
No, we have 20s.
Is it legal to have 20s?
Well, this is part of the process.
Now what?
Right now they're going through the whole process of redoing the comp plan, and then they're going to take a look at the zoning map again because there were a lot of anomalies. A lot of industrial areas that had been industrial for 80 years weren't shown on the zoning map. They weren't zoned properly.
People are going to start hearing the frustration in my voice here that I think you said in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
That's when, you know, the 20 came in and supposedly illegal 20s because they weren't established.
They're just not supported.
Supported with mm-hmm. attributes.
Right.
And we've been this long, you know, drifting around, not getting this taken care of, not defining attributes. What the heck has been going on?
So state statute says every 10 years you're supposed to review it.
Well, that would have been 2018 then.
Right. And that's when we started the process.
And here we are, 2023, mm-hmm. 5 years later.
Mm-hmm.
What the heck has been going on?
These things take time. So when you redo a comp plan, you have to do all the research. So in other words, you're collecting massive amounts of data. So because the county has changed from 2008, populations have changed, growth areas have changed, all that stuff needs to be factored in.
It keeps changing. I mean, that's not right. – I mean, now we're really changing. I think that really this whole thread of conversation mm-hmm. has to do with what – your former constituents, both mm-hmm. that were both those supportive and maybe those not so supportive, most people, not that I talk to tons of people, but you know, they feel like there's just some kind of an overgrowth going on. They're just seeing so much growth and density in different areas, and they're concerned that A, they don't like it, but okay, we don't like it, but B, infrastructure is
right.
being
no
set
one
aside.
Likes it. I don't like it.
Well,
I mean, that's why our property, our family property is 500 plus acres. We'll keep it timber.
So let's get this zoning 20-acre attribute. Let's get some movement because nothing stays the same. I don't
right.
have to tell
well,
you.
Well, there's got to be – so let's boil this back a little bit, and I'll kind of give you an idea where we were coming from as a board and me personally. Is that, is that in 1978 there was a Supreme Court decision that created the Local Land Use Planning Act in each state. And what that was to protect private property rights because there were states – running over citizens' private property rights, you know, doing wild rezoning that didn't make sense, couldn't be substantiated legally. So the Local Land Use Planning Act starts out saying its primary function is to protect private property rights, which is important because if you go back to the Federalist Papers, our founders wrote about it. They said, you know, private property rights is the most important right next to life itself. So now fast forward that to what we have to deal with. Because of what they did in 2008 with the 20-acre parcels, we didn't really see a big impact until we started seeing the push for people to leave blue states to come here. That's when we started seeing the problem. And there were other issues, too, that we saw suddenly changing that we were able to fix quickly. The comp plan is out of the commissioner's hands. It has to be done by the Planning and Zoning Commission, not
well,
the
commissioners. Well, I think somebody needs to set a fire under them and get this thing moving.
I agree.
Because it's been way too many years.
And we have been pushing that. Before
along.
I left, I was pushing them. And we don't have any authority. I don't know if you know the relationship. Planning and Zoning Commission is something the state outlines.
Who does the Planning and Zoning report to?
They report to themselves.
Well,
we don't have any influence over them. They present us with a document that we review and either
accept. Who's in charge of planning and zoning in Bonner County?
It's the Planning and Zoning Commission. It's a state statute. State statute lays out.
The head chair.
The chair. Well, there's the chair of planning, I believe, is a gentleman out of Priest River. The chair of zoning, I'm not sure who the chair of zoning is anymore.
I'll have to have him on. The private property rights, I want to jump on that if I can, because I own property now in Sandpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Sandpoint, this is nothing to do with county commissioners. Sandpoint City Council approved two amazingly clear-cut developments right where I have been, where there have been forest and trees, and now there is nothing. And I'm like, my private property rights have been affected by somebody else's decision to get that. My private property, there are people, I think, south of Sandpoint who feel like they're zoned one way and there's another zoning going a different direction.
Maybe.
I don't know what the status
I don't follow
of that
the city,
is. But anyway, that's county. But they feel that their private property rights are being abrogated by, you know, really kind of radical rezones here. They're all 10s and 20s, and this is a 5 coming in. They're like, you know,
so
that
what,
hurts
what,
us.
What affects someone else's private property rights is if, I'll try to give some examples. Let's say you have a septic system that's flowing onto your neighbor's land. That's an absolute effect on private property rights. Let's say you have livestock and your livestock is getting out and you're not in a herd district. That would be, you know, an effect on private property rights. But anyone that owns property has a right within the law to do what they wish with the property. If they want to mow down all the trees, that's their right. we may not like it. I may not like it. I mean, I've got a development next to our property that's got 1.3 acre parcels out on Sunnyside, one north of us that's got, you know, 5 acre parcels.
Well, I guess I'll just repeat, you know, my goodness, let's just get planning and zoning. And I can't believe they don't report to anybody. That totally irritates
me.
Well,
it's the state has these, and they're separate from the commissioners on purpose, so they don't want commissioners influencing them.
That's fine. It could be separate, but somebody needs to be in charge of them. I want to change the agenda. I laughed out loud when I saw your Facebook. You put something out on Facebook. I'm going to say a month ago. Maybe it was 2 months ago. I know. You don't know what I'm referring to yet, but it made me laugh out loud because it says, "Do you miss me now?"
Oh, that wasn't me. That was Thomas Leo.
Oh, he said Thomas that Leo. On your.
Yeah, he put it on my page.
So you didn't say it. Oh, yeah. Thomas, you rat. Well, anyway, I thought it was funny.
Yeah, I know.
So what do you think he meant? I mean, what, you know, like Steve, what do you think of the job Steve is doing as chair? Be real with us.
You know, I don't want to comment on the current board. For the most part, I mean, really, on the air. I mean, I really don't. I've always tried to be professional about stuff like that, and it's not my business. I mean, are they doing it differently than I did it, Steve? Yeah, sure. But he's coming along. I've really tried to divorce myself from all things county, even though I still have employees calling me and department heads and this and that.
Are you calling employees? Are you talking to Luke? Do you call?
I get a call from Luke every now and then. I get a call from Steve every now and then, just asking questions. Usually it's about things, hey, when we did this back in 2020, what was our intent or whatever.
But
like
you
that.
Don't feel that you're calling them and intervening?
No.
Are
no,
you calling staff in
I don't,
any way?
No, I don't want to intervene. I don't want to be involved. I'm retired now, so.
How long are you going to stay retired?
It's hard to say.
I want to know.
I've got some people asking me to run for other positions. And I told my wife, first of all, I wouldn't volunteer for anything for 2 years. So I'm no longer on Life Choices anymore. I'm no longer on Idaho Families. And I just told her I would not volunteer for anything new for at least 2 years. But we'll see. I don't know. I hate to say never.
Yeah.
But
Idaho Families, we missed you at that event only because it was – you would have been blown away even if you hadn't done anything. It was unreal.
Oh, good.
It was just packed.
That's
from wall to wall and made a lot of money.
But, you know, I'm trying to enjoy retirement. I haven't had a lot of time
to. So are you going to run for an elected office, do you think?
I hope not. So here's the deal. I have a deal with my wife if I want to run for office again, because people wanted me to run for a third term. There are quite a few people, actually. And my wife said, that'd be awesome. You'll have to find a new wife. So, and if you don't know my wife that well, she's really sweet and very supportive. And I'm sure if I decided to run for something else, she would be behind me. But, you know, I paid my dues. I left a really good paying job with very few headaches to do the commissioner's job, which paid a lot less and had more headaches. And I don't know that I want to repeat that again.
Okay, let's repeat then the discussion briefly about the fairgrounds. What I don't understand, I have been told that actually the fairground, they have other property, and that's going to work. To me, it's like the ice rink all over again. It's just this big brouhaha for something that nobody really wants or needs since they have undisputed land. Right? Or is that
no,
true?
They don't. In fact, one of the processes that took place when we were looking at adding to the RV park was we had an engineer come in and he scoured all that property and said there really is nothing suitable. A lot of it's too close to the creek, which creates a problem. Some of it's where the rodeo grounds are, and there's, you know, and they do cool
down.
What
about the whole discussion then that the fairgrounds, except for rodeo and I think the fair, which are at the same time of year, they have a little RV park.
Right.
They have hookups. They have it.
It's booked out most of the year.
No, that's not what has been reported, that they are empty a lot of the year.
During the winter, there's probably 3 or 4 people that camp there that work at Schweitzer or recreate at Schweitzer. But during the spring, summer, and fall, they're booked out.
This is like permanent RV. This is not,
I used to be the commissioner
not
over
serving the vacationers and the people coming in and the tourists. This is just like long-term RV living.
It could be. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say. I can tell you that the demand for RV spaces in Bonner County is great. The supply is low. And what we were looking for there, or what I was looking for, was the ability to create more revenue for the fairgrounds so that they wouldn't have to take money from the general fund, thereby reducing everyone's taxes.
That's been the goal for a long time.
And making them self-sufficient so they can finally pave that front parking lot, finally do some repairs to the building. They don't generate enough revenue off. They're booked just about every weekend. I don't know if you know that. And a lot of times, and during the week as well, there's pickleball and volleyball and all these things going on there. So this would be create a revenue source that would make them free of the county strings.
Do you believe, as a former county commissioner, that the Fair Board have been good stewards in terms of financial management, being aggressive in becoming self-sustaining without an RV park, that they have been good stewards, that they have been more entrepreneurial than just, you know, a happy fair, worrying about the theme of the fair every summer?
Well, most of the fair, if you look at the Fair Board members, they're all really good people. They're salt of the earth people. They're ag people. They're not CEOs.
We need to get some entrepreneurial CEO
types. These people that are going to think a little more forward.
If they want to be self-sustaining, then they need to start thinking that way. And not
Exactly. And that was one of the things when I first stepped in to oversee the Fair Board, and I was just there as a liaison, was that I started telling them, listen, your rates, your ticket prices, those kind of things are way below market. You need to start becoming self-sufficient.
Okay, bringing up the fairgrounds and the ice rink, not so much the ice rink. Honestly, Dan, what in the world has happened between you and Sheriff Wheeler? If there's anything I want, and I told Luke and Asia this when this was when they were in the studio with me, they had been elected but not sworn in. I said, my heart's desire, and every voter in Bonner County, I believe, want our elected officials to get along.
Oh, sure.
You guys have got to work together. You got to, I mean, you got to work together and be cooperative, not only because the Bible asks us to do that, the people. Mm-hmm. So what's wrong between you and Daryl?
We have no idea, but it's not just this past board. It's been every board since he's been elected. I heard from other commissioners that told me the same thing.
Well,
wanted a new jail. My issue is fiscal control. I don't like to raise taxes on people. I don't want to. My whole goal, in fact, when we first came in, we cut a third of the budget, kept taxes flat for 4 years. Inflation started to hit. That's when it became a problem. I don't know what the sheriff's issue is with respect to that. I mean, he's got the biggest budget. He's pretty aggressive. Anytime you try to do anything, he gets upset. Even so much with this RV park, he keeps talking about this justice facility, which we've already got a spot for that in between the jail and juvenile detention, which makes the most sense logistically. Problem is, it's going to cost $100 million to build it, and I don't know what taxpayers are going to vote $100 million for that, but he's always wanted a new jail, and that's something even Cornell told me when he was a commissioner, that you know he didn't like our jail. Well,
but that was so many years ago. Things have changed.
So he claims overcrowding, but he's willfully taking federal and state prisoners, which I don't know why, because
he
ran against that.
Is he losing money on federal?
Losing money. Okay. $79 a day is what he gets. Average cost is about $124 to $131 a day. So the taxpayer is on the hook for the difference.
So taking in federal prisoners, we're talking, or is it just any
federal
other
and state prisoners?
Overflow?
Yeah, and okay. I don't know why we'd want to bring those kind of people in there. Interestingly enough, if you go back to pre-2008 when he ran against that, against Elaine Savage, I believe it was. And he said, why are we bringing these dangerous prisoners in? But now we're still doing it, and I don't know why. So I don't know. I don't know what the deal is with the sheriff. Why he's always been adversarial to the Board of County Commissioners. I think what he should do is just run for county commissioner.
I was really hoping. I mean, I respect that you are not here to speak for Sheriff Wheeler.
Mm-hmm.
So that goes without saying. But I just wish that there was some kind of resonance going on that would say, even though I don't understand, as a county commissioner, mm-hmm. which you are not now, that you would have reached out and sat down with him over.
I did. The first year, I spent a lot of time trying to bring him back.
Or 2 years.
I tried to bring him back into the fold, and eventually.
Or just get to know what in the heck
he creates
the
an
issue
ask
is.
That we can't do, and then he gets upset when we say no. He doesn't like to hear the word no.
All right. Well.
And most department heads don't like to hear the word no, or elected officials.
I don't like to hear the word
about,
no.
When you're talking about budgets.
It happens.
So, yeah.
If you are willing, I need to have you back. I've booked in another Okay. And we'll see if we can explore other kinds, sure. other territory here.
Yeah.
And I'm still jealous of that Costa Rica.
Oh, man. Well, it was a promise I made to my children and their spouses that once I retired, I would take them somewhere warm.
So. Oh, my gosh. Awesome. All right, everybody. Thanks for being here for the first part of the program. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to change it up. We're going to change guests, and Dan Rose will be joining us. Stay tuned.
Do you have some spring fencing projects to get done? North 40 Outfitters has you covered with the best selection and pricing on panels, gates, chargers, post drivers, and more. Don't forget to pick up a pair of gloves or some hard-wearing hammer drill pants. Plus, you can save up to $40 on select boots. Find great deals on solutions to get the job done right with brands like Gallagher, DeWalt, Ariat, OK Brand Fence, King Cutter, and more. Stop in and shop at North 40 Outfitters or buy online and pick up in-store at north40.com. North 40 Outfitters, outfitting work and play.
His music, his way. Charlie Crockett.
I'm just a clown.
Live.
That's what they say. I'm just a clown.
Friday, July 21st, the Fox Theater. Charlie Crockett.
Ready to ribble.
The new album, The Band from Waco, out now. Tickets are on sale now at FoxTheaterSpokane.com or by phone 509-624-1200. Charlie Crockett, live.
I've always gotten tons of UTIs. Cranberry products never worked for me, and I was desperate for a way to be proactive. I'm Jenna Ryan, CEO and founder of Eucora. We've worked with doctors to develop effective urinary tract health products. Eucora is helping over 100,000 women stay healthy. Ready to join them? Get 30% off at eucora.com/radio. That's eucora.com/radio.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Imagine it's the last ride, but your symptoms of irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, are taking you for a ride. What should you do? Keep managing your constipation with belly pain the same old way? Or try getting ahead of your symptoms by talking to your doctor about treating it with Linzess, linaclotide. Linzess is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually.
Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling.
Imagine, what could relief from IBS-C mean for you? Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-L-I-N-Z-E-S-S.
Sponsored by Abbey and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
So we were in Times Square.
Taking selfies with all the lights.
I bought a shot glass.
I bought a hat.
I bought a snow globe at this little shop.
You know, I collect those.
Then we grabbed a slice at this super secret spot.
It smelled a bit funky outside.
I heard they don't have alleys.
They don't have alleys.
But they certainly have people.
Lots of people.
When everyone's vacation sounds the same.
It's time for something different. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.
KSPT 1400, KBFI 1450, North Idaho's radio.
All right, everyone. Welcome back in. I am so glad that you decided to stay tuned because, as promised, we have Dan Rose with us now. Dan is a current Ponderay Hospital District Trustee, which is aka Bonner General Hospital Taxing District. I used to think that was a completely different hospital, Dan. I had no, you know, years ago, like I had no idea. And I always said, well, that's Bonner General Hospital. I'm like, well, why don't they call it that? I don't know. Anyway, welcome to the program. Thanks for being here.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me, Barbara.
Okay, we have a purpose in you being here, and that is that Bonner General Hospital has recently announced that they are stopping all obstetric care in terms of delivering babies and OB care at Bonner General Hospital effective sometime in early May. Mm-hmm. So, the questions are obvious. As a trustee, can you tell us what are the reasons that they have decided to do this, or the reason?
So I'm one of 7 trustees, and yes. I don't get the same information that the other trustees get because they're all on the board of the hospital as well, except for Helen Parson. So 2 of us are not on the board. But
Let's go over that again so people can understand. How many board members are there on the Pondere Hospital District Trustee that you're on?
Seven.
There are seven. And of those, five sit on the Bonner General Hospital Board.
Correct. And that's a board of 10. So it's five of 10 at
that
point.
So five of 10. So there are five people on this taxing district that also sit on Bonner General Hospital, and they have a lot more information because they're on both boards.
Correct.
To me, that must be – I think it's like some conflict of interest, but maybe not.
I think so, too.
Yeah. All right. So what is your understanding for this decision?
So there's a three-prong answer to that, and generally it is that, one, the birth rates are declining – which is not true. There were 265 births in 2022, and I'm going to extrapolate, and it was about 247 in 2021. And I'm basing that extrapolation on the funding numbers and the revenue numbers that we know in the district spreadsheets.
You know, in some areas, and that's why, you know, statistics and looking at trends nationwide are really a walk on the wild side. But apparently trending in some areas, birth rates are down. Other obstetrics are kind of pulling back a little bit on services. Maybe instead of four doctors, they have three. But our birth rate is trending upward.
Correct. And all the numbers that we've been supplied at the district level from the hospital staff or the clinic director is that the numbers are all improving over the last year. So I hadn't seen any information of decline.
Okay. So one of the reasons for ending obstetrics is a decline, but there is no decline. At least not one that's showing now.
Not one that's been reported to the district from the hospital.
Okay.
So the district is a customer of the hospital, if you want to look at it that way.
Uh-huh.
And as the customer, we haven't been told from the hospital that the births are declining. So I don't see that number as being valid or factual or accurate.
Yet it was a reason given for closing down obstetrics.
Correct. The second reason they gave was that staff, they're unable to maintain staff. Now, I have seen around the country that staffing is an issue. I've experienced it specifically as a patient in Kootenai Healthcare, having talked to nurses on the ward that they were leaving because of vaccination programs. I know, so across the nation, I would imagine the numbers for staff are down because people, professionals just, are unwilling to take the vaccination and therefore they're locked out of the industry.
You know, that to me, let's expand on that just a little bit, is that one of the issues with maintaining staff, and not just locally but in other areas, is because of vaccination requirements.
Correct.
If you want to work here, you have got to get the jab. And tons of doctors and nurses, I don't know, you know, it's been reported at all the legitimate news organizations of people walking out. And Bonner General Hospital, is it true or not? They were willing to say, look, you don't want to take the vaccination, we're willing to lose you.
Yeah, so
Go ahead, leave.
So there was a point in time in the COVID process that CMS was mandating the vaccination. And the hospital was put in the predicament if they didn't force the vaccinations without the exemptions, the religious exemption being the most important, medical and religious exemptions being the two that you could rely on as an employee. If you didn't engage in that, the hospital would lose its funding. So they were in the position of losing half of their staff or most of their funding.
But they could have given exemptions.
And that was what we encouraged them to do, and that's what they did.
Did they do it in abundance?
I don't have access to the hospital numbers and the staff.
Okay.
But there is an organization called North Idaho Freedom Alliance, and that's made up of approximately 80 BGH employees. And that's what they wanted them to do. And as a district trustee, I put that on the table as a customer of BGH.
Right.
That that the BGH acknowledge and adhere to those medical and religious exemptions, which would save the workforce.
Yes.
And I believe they did at some point go down that road. I don't know how well they adhere to offering the exemptions as opposed to pushing the vaccine.
Okay, so losing staff, they can't maintain staff, and it must be in particular OBGYN staff.
Yeah, in this case, it was two nurses, I believe, that as the best I got representation from the chair of the hospital district, it was two nurses and one doctor. Now, to me, if people want to escape the city and a lot of the, how do I say, regulations that are more prevalent in the cities as opposed here in this rural community, this is a sanctuary for those people to come and work.
And anyway, these numbers, I don't know. I guess I thought the numbers were going to be a lot higher, but two nurses and one doctor, it's sad to see them leave for whatever reason. We're trying to still figure out why they're so upset. We're going to get to abortion here if that's the reason. So can't maintain staff. That doesn't feel legit either to me. Two nurses and a doc.
No, to me,
can recruit.
Easily recruitable. And the $1.4 million that the hospital district provides to BGH is for one of those conditions is to, one, it's subsidy funding is the biggest one we use it for, but two, it's to, it's available for recruiting purposes.
Okay, so $1.4 million from the taxing district to Bonner General can be used, some of it, or X percent can be used for recruiting, and it's to reimburse, like it could reimburse staffing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so its subsidy funding is mostly what it's used for. They take the insurance revenues, and we pay the balance or the break even.
What's left.
That's not provided by insurance or patient revenues.
Okay, so declining birth rates doesn't really seem to resonate. Can't maintain staff. I don't know. That doesn't feel really strong. What was the third reason given for stopping obstetrics?
Well, I'll give the second one, staff. It was said to the district that we could not get a psychiatrist in here because the salary would be too high for this community, and they couldn't do it. Several months later, we had a psychiatrist on board for the clinic, the behavioral health clinic that the Pinderlay Hospital District does fund. So to say that you can't get because of salary, that's not true.
Right.
Because we did it.
Because you did it for a really important position.
Yeah. And nurses coming from the city to a nice environment that we have here, rural environment, is, I would say, not a very good excuse either.
And maybe some of those people that didn't want the jab would be willing to come back too.
Correct.
All right, what's the third reason?
And the third reason is the
abortion. That was given.
Is the abortion issue, which they call political climate. Now, that's a moving target in itself. I can't comment on what this doctor's perceived threat of liability is, criminal liability, under how she does business. But I believe that if you were in the business of birthing and not aborting, there wouldn't be anything to worry about.
Yeah, exactly. And let's make it straight, because there was a letter to the editor in today's paper. I don't know if you saw it. This person lied. And I hope the Daily Bee catches it and asks for a retraction, because the statement was that abortions are not legal in Idaho for any reason whatsoever. And that's just not true.
Correct.
Abortion is legal in Idaho for the health of the mother. And I think that's news to a lot of people.
Well, they,
a lot of people don't know that.
They just passed
more protection, right?
More protection law in House Bill 374. and it reads, amends existing law to revise the definition of abortion and to provide that certain actions and attempts shall not be considered criminal abortions.
The health of the mother, ectopic pregnancies, anything that challenges mom's health at any time during this pregnancy is legal in Idaho. In addition, rape and incest pregnancies can also be aborted. There are some rules and boundaries around that in terms of a police report. I mean, you have to report that there was a rape or there was incest. But other than that, you can have abortion for rape and incest in Idaho legally.
And I think in reading that law, I'm going back to my memory, I believe that the insertion to this new law had something to do with the first trimester. So
yes.
It was a first trimester expiration date attached to that 374.
Okay. After the first trimester, it needs to be in a hospital setting. It can be in a doctor's office the first trimester. If the health of the mother is in jeopardy, in the physician's opinion, he can abort that baby. I don't think very many abortions are even done here. I think they send them someplace to do that, or maybe they do that procedure here when it's the health of the mom. Do you know?
I don't know.
I need to find that out. All right, we're up against a break. We're going to take that break right now.
Tremendous time for Don the Snake Prudhomme, ladies and gentlemen. That's the first 5 second time.
And come meet Don the Snake Prudhomme at the 7th Annual Spokane Speed and Custom Show, April 14th to 16th. It's the biggest all-indoor car show in Spokane history. 8 buildings packed with over 400 vehicles. Spokane Fair and Expo Center, April 14th, 15th, and 16th. Doors open at noon on Friday, 10 on Saturday and Sunday. See the Snake and TV's Ian Rossell on Friday and Saturday. The Spokane Speed and Custom Show. See us on Facebook, and we'll see you there.
The Selkirk Crest chapter of the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation is holding their annual Big Game Banquet. It's Saturday, May 6th at the Bonner County Fairgrounds. A social evening of fun and great food, and all for the benefit of elk country. You could win top-notch firearms, premium hunts, and more. Table packages available at rmef.org. Buy tickets now and save big bucks. Don't miss the annual Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation Banquet, Saturday, May 6th, Bonner County Fairgrounds. Go to rmef.org now.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month, a savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance.
For your free quote, call SelectQuote at 1-800-452-5050. That's 1-800-452-5050. Or go to SelectQuote.com. 1-800-452-5050. That's 1-800-452-5050.
SelectQuote. We shop. You save. Full details on example policies at selectquote.com/commercials.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles, with an auto warranty about to expire, or with no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy, CarShield is announcing a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that is now available to the public to save any driver out-of-pocket expenses on future auto repairs. Call now to find out how you can pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Yes, you heard that correctly. Pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for all drivers to call for a free, quick quote. Call 800-736-6158 now. Drivers who are covered will not have to pay for covered repairs again. This protection plan is at an all-time low. Additionally, drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Call us for your free quick quote today. 800-736-6158. That's 800-736-6158. What do you have to lose? Call 800-736-6158. Again, 800-736-6158.
97.1 FM and 1450 AM, 1400 AM, North Idaho's radio.
We are are talking right now with Dan Rose. He is currently a trustee on the Pondere Hospital District. It's a taxing arm of Bonner General Hospital. So this is not some hospital off in, I don't know, West Bonner County or something. This is us. And they have decided, I guess, to stop delivering babies because they think the birth rate is down, which Dan has told us is not correct. Maintaining staff, seems they could recruit a nurse, two nurses and a doc. And the political climate of abortion, which I totally, Dan, I don't understand. What the relationship between delivering babies with killing a baby.
Well, abortion is not health care.
Abortion is not health care. Okay, so, except that abortion is legal in Idaho if the health of the mother is in jeopardy. I mean, everybody, I'm telling you, there are people that don't know that. They think you can't have an abortion in Idaho for any reason. And that's not true. The health of the mother, ectopic, you know, all kinds of issues for mom if her life is in danger. Now, the doctor is asked to save both lives. But if only the mom's life can be saved, that's legal in Idaho as well as rape and incest. So why are they doing this? What's the undercurrent reason here?
I don't have an answer to that. That seems to be something that this doctor has made a personal issue. I haven't heard that come up in the national media. The national media is reporting, though, the two other items that – the birth rate numbers and the staffing numbers.
But abortion as a reason is not like out there.
No. And if that's the case, there would be doctors all across the state that would be running to the border as well.
Or across the nation. There are other states that have some limits on abortion. There are other states that have like no limits, like California.
I'm just looking at it from Idaho's perspective,
right,
and specific to Idaho laws that each of those doctors,
okay,
specifically this doctor, have to comply with.
They would be running out.
They would
of
be
the
running
state.
Too, right? And so, why aren't we losing birthing units from around the state? And there's three or four doctors, three doctors and one PA in this community. Why aren't the other couple doctors running for the border as well?
Right. And their work delivering babies is they're being cut off from delivering babies. They're not in protest. They're not leaving. They want to deliver babies, is my understanding. But the hospital is saying, no, we're not going to do it anymore.
Right. And
I don't get
and
it.
And I think they're still going to do some obstetric
pre-care
services.
They're just not going to deliver the baby.
Right. And again, I was told at the district we were – how do we say, we set up a clinic in Bonner's Ferry capture the patient, the delivery, the birthing patient, and the payday came on the delivery date.
Right.
And so even though we went to Bonner's Ferry, it was a low-cost thing.
Like a clinic, ultrasounds.
Yep. And
bring them into the hospital and deliver that baby, you make money.
That's when the payday is for the hospital.
Yeah.
And so to give that up, I don't know why they're doing it, especially when they have doctors that aren't leaving. So.
Well, for all of you out there listening and appreciating the work that Dan has done as a trustee, he is not running for re-election on the board. He term limited himself. So effective this May 16th election, we've got five candidates running for four positions on the Pondere Hospital District Trustee Board, and four will take over. We'll see who wins that election. I plan on having all the candidates on, Dan, and I'm sorry that you're not going to be one of them.
Oh, sorry, I'm to disappoint. If I could.
I'll tell you what, we need to revisit this issue. We're going to have to let that be the last word for today. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for being with us. Thanks to Dan McDonald, Dan Rose for being here. Next week, I have State Senator Scott Herndon. The week after that, State Representative Sage Dixon, right here for you, explaining the top legislative issues. Until then, this is Barbara saying, take care of yourselves and may God richly bless you.